Welcome to the deep dive. Today we're peeling back the layers on Kindergarten Unit 2 from Kiddom's Florida math curriculum. This isn't just, you know, teaching kids to count. It's really about building those foundational cognitive pathways, the things that make numbers truly make sense. It's where those first whispers of how many start to become, well, solid understanding.
That's exactly right. Yeah. If Unit 1 was kind of about setting the stage, maybe introducing basic counting routines, Unit 2 is where students really start to grasp the essence of quantity. By the end of this deep dive, you'll see how children move from maybe just reciting numbers to confidently counting, comparing groups, objects and images, and representing those quantities using objects, pictures, and importantly, written numbers. It's a really crucial leap from rote counting to developing genuine number sense, which is just, well, absolutely vital for all future math.
Okay, so that's the big picture, the grand vision for Unit 2. But yeah. Let's zoom in a little. How does the curriculum actually guide students through that? You mentioned the routines from Unit 1. How do they, like, leverage those familiar structures here to really cement their understanding? And what's the big idea behind showing them numbers in, you know, all sorts of different arrangements?
Well, it's fascinating, actually. Those familiar structures, they kind of provide a safe cognitive space, right? It lets students focus their mental energy on the new thing, which is solidifying those number to quantity connections.
Yeah.
And about those varied arrangements. Yeah. Lines, arrays, number cube patterns, five frames. It's incredibly intentional. Think about it. For a five-year-old, understanding that five isn't tied to one specific look, that it's an abstract quantity. That's a huge cognitive leap. So this unit, it strategically challenges that by showing numbers in all these configurations. It pushes them past just rote counting towards true conservation of numbers.
Conservation of numbers. Okay.
Yeah, it helps them build that crucial understanding that rearranging stuff doesn't change how much stuff there is. Mm. Like, you know, five blocks in a line or five blocks scattered around, it's still five.
Right.
And that flexibility. Mm. Super important for mental math later on.
That makes so much sense. It's not just counting correctly, but understanding why it's still the same number. So what are some of the key tools or maybe strategies that help them make this jump? I hear about fingers, obviously, and something called five frames.
Ah, yes. Fingers and five frames. Mm-hmm. They seem simple, but they're, well, profoundly powerful here. Especially for numbers 6 through 10, they really help students visualize the structure of numbers as five and some more.
Okay.
So 7 isn't just 7. It becomes 5 and 2 more visually. And this isn't just a visual aid, you know. Right. It's like a subtle, really intuitive introduction to base 10 thinking.
Hmm.
Yeah, by seeing numbers related to 5, kids aren't just counting. They're kind of intuitively breaking numbers down, decomposing them, building these mental anchors that are going to be crucial for addition, subtraction, even place value much further down the road.
Wow.
And yeah, fingers are great because they're always there, right?
Yeah.
Makes counting really tangible, personal. Mm. We also see the development of comparison skills in this unit. It's quite nuanced. They start with fewer and more when they're looking at physical objects.
Right.
Then later, when they move to comparing written numbers, the term less gets introduced. It's gradual. We know they might mix them up at first, but they get proficient over time with practice.
Okay.
And connecting this to the bigger picture, they also learn that critical difference between counting numbers 1, 2, 3 and positional words first, second, third.
Ordinality.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Helps them identify positions in a sequence.
Yeah.
Builds that understanding too.
You've laid this out so clearly. It really shows the progression. It makes me wonder though, with all these different phases, where do kids typically just get it? Where does it click? And where do they tend to need maybe a bit more support? Let's dive into section A, counting and comparing objects. What's the main goal here? And are there any like subtle pitfalls teachers or parents should look out for, even with these basic activities?
Good question. In section A, the core focus is definitely on answering how many and really cementing that link between quantities and the spoken number words. Often the real breakthrough, that click you mentioned, happens when they internalize the conservation of number.
Oh.
When they genuinely realize deep down that moving 3 teddy bears around doesn't change the fact that there are still 3 teddy bears. The pitfall. Sometimes it's a superficial understanding. A child might count correctly, sure, but still think spreading things out means there are suddenly more.
Mm-hmm.
So this section deliberately encourages rearranging objects and talking about it. It explicitly challenges that misconception. They're encouraged to use fingers, counting mats, five frames, even stuff from home, you know, to make it tangible.
Makes sense.
And this section also carefully brings in more and fewer for visual comparisons, like seeing 7 dots versus 2 dots makes those relationships concrete. And yes, they revisit that distinction between counting numbers and positional words, asking them to think about how one and first are alike or different, reinforces that ordinal sense.
Got it.
Oh, and it's worth mentioning, there are optional lessons here for actually forming the numbers 1 to 10. But the main emphasis isn't really on perfect handwriting right now. It's more about connecting the idea of the quantity to the symbol.
Right, the writing practice comes later.
Exactly. They'll get plenty of chances for that.
That's fascinating, setting that groundwork for such a key idea. So once they've got a decent handle on physical objects, what's next? Moving into Section B, the curriculum shifts to counting and comparing images. Now, that sounds like a small step, maybe, but I imagine it brings its own set of challenges, right?
Oh, it's a really significant cognitive hurdle.
Sure.
Yeah, counting images can actually be more challenging sometimes.
Really? Why is that?
Well, think about it. You can't physically move images around once you've counted them, right?
True.
And kids often lack strategies for keeping track of what they've already counted on a page. It's easy to lose your place or count things twice. So this section directly targets that. It presents images in lots of different deliberate arrangements, lines, arrays, 5 frames, number cube patterns, pictures of fingers.
Okay.
That variety helps them build flexible strategies for counting things they can't touch and move. It also introduces subitizing.
Subitizing. I love that word.
Me too. It's that amazing ability to just know how many are in a small group without counting one by one. Like seeing 3 dots on a die and instantly knowing it's 3.
Yeah.
And that's not just memorizing. It's about developing an immediate, accurate grasp of quantity. It's super efficient for answering how many, and it builds number fluency.
That seems really powerful.
It is. And again, those images on 5 frames and pictures of fingers are key here. Reinforces that 5 and some more structure. Allows them to count on from 5, which is more efficient. And those are there enough questions? They continue here. Encouraging kids to match items 1 to 1 as a way to compare deepens their understanding of more and fewer.
That concept of subitizing is powerful, like a little mental shortcut to number sense. Okay, so they've worked with objects, then images. They understand how many, and they can compare. Now, how do they take all that, you know, sensory and verbal understanding and translate it into written symbols? That abstract world. Section C focuses on connecting quantities to written numbers. What's the biggest leap for a kindergartner here?
Well, this section really highlights a huge cognitive shift, moving from concrete stuff and spoken words to abstract written symbols. It's not just about handwriting, like we said.
Yeah.
It's about connecting their internal feeling for, say, 3 to that specific squiggle on the paper.
Right. That symbol means 3.
Exactly. And that's a much bigger challenge than we sometimes assume.
Hmm.
There's a numbers 1-10 with 5 frames reference sheet that can be super helpful here. Kind of a bridge between the visual and the symbolic.
Okay.
And here's where it gets really interesting too. They start counting images arranged in a circle.
Oh, that sounds tricky.
It's deceptively difficult. Because there's no obvious start or stop point, right?
Yeah.
So it pushes students to develop their own ways to keep track. Maybe they touch each picture as they count or trace a little path with their finger. That independent problem solving, that's a vital skill they're building.
I like that.
And finally, they get asked to actually create and draw collections to represent a number someone gives them. Now that is demanding. They have to hold the target number in their head.
Keep track of what they've drawn.
Right. And they often start using structures, like drawing things in rows or groups of 5, just to help them manage it.
Mm-hmm.
Which, again, reinforces their understanding of how numbers are composed.
It really hammers home that math is about problem solving, finding strategies, even this early on. Okay, so they can count objects, images, connect those to written numbers. What's the final piece of the puzzle for this unit? Section D. Comparing written numbers, how does this build on everything else? And what kinds of strategies do kids use when they can't just move objects or look at pictures anymore?
Yeah, Section D is where they really develop the ability to compare written numbers abstractly. Just through the act of counting, they naturally start to see that numbers get bigger, right? And that each next number is 1 more. Mm. That itself strengthens their understanding of number relationships. It's like the very beginning of understanding arithmetic.
Mm.
So when they have to compare, say, a written 4 and a written 9 without any pictures, they might use a few different pretty sophisticated strategies. Mm-hmm. They might sort of create their own representations mentally or maybe with quick little dots on paper. 4 dots versus 9 dots.
Okay.
Or, crucially, they start using number sense.
Right.
They might just know 10 is a big number compared to others they're working with. Or they visualize 4 as fingers on one hand.
Ah, using those mental anchors.
Exactly. Or they might just use their knowledge of the count sequence itself. They know 9 comes after 4 when they count, so 9 must be bigger. So comparing 9 and 4, they might think, well, 9 is almost all my fingers. 4 is just a few, so 9 is clearly more.
Mm.
It's all about building that flexible, intuitive sense of magnitude.
That's a fantastic breakdown of the whole unit. It's intricate. It really makes you realize how much complex thinking is going on behind what looks like simple counting. So how does all this, you know, sophisticated thinking actually show up in everyday life? Where do we or our kids use these skills all the time without even realizing it?
Oh, absolutely everywhere. Seriously, think about it. Counting out snacks for friends, one for you, one for me. Comparing toys, who has more blocks? Or who has fewer cars?
Right.
Checking how many people are at the table for dinner. Figuring out who's first or second in line at the playground. Recognizing numbers on street signs, or maybe finding page numbers in a book.
Yeah, house numbers.
House numbers.
Yeah.
Exactly. These skills are constantly being used in just, well, normal life.
Yeah.
Makes math feel relevant and useful right from the start.
That's so true. It's definitely not just a classroom thing. So for families listening in, what are some practical ways, maybe low stress ways, they can keep reinforcing these ideas at home?
Yeah, definitely low stress is key. It really doesn't need to feel like homework or formal lessons at all.
Yeah.
The best way is just to keep it casual, make it engaging, simple things like counting everyday objects. Hey, how many spoons are in this drawer? Or let's count the steps as we go up.
Mm-hmm.
Ask how many questions. Often, just naturally during the day.
Uh-huh.
Encourage your child to use their fingers when they're counting during play. It's such a natural tool for them.
Totally.
Play simple games that involve comparing who has fewer red blocks. Do you have more crackers than I do? Stuff like that.
Yeah.
When you're lining up or even just looking at pictures, point out first, second, third, and just seize those little opportunities to point out numbers in the environment on books, signs, maybe the microwave clock.
Got it.
These aren't really lessons. They're just playful interactions that really help solidify these big ideas. Makes the abstract feel concrete.
What an insightful journey through kindergarten unit 2. We've really seen how students develop these foundational skills. Not just understanding numbers and quantities, but really grasping how they're represented and how they relate to each other. These truly are the building blocks for, well, all future math success. And honestly, just for navigating the world, right?
Indeed. They really are. And, you know, as we think about these really early steps in math, it kind of raises an important question for all of us to consider. How does building this strong, flexible understanding of numbers right here in these early years,
yeah,
how does that empower a child's confidence? And their curiosity, you know, to explore more complex ideas and challenges all the way through their learning journey.